Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
Advocates press for widely available opioid overdose antidotes. Opioid overdose deaths have reached all-time highs in the last year, and the Biden administration has made combating the epidemic a priority. The federal government has allotted $30 million to harm reduction groups in an effort to increase access to naloxone, the only available overdose reversal medication. Advocates argue that the biggest barrier to access is not providing the drug over the counter, NPR reports. Currently, naloxone can only be provided as a prescription. All 50 states allowed individuals to buy the drug at the pharmacy without a prescription, but they don't have the authority to call it an over-the-counter medication. That means that state health departments have to get creative. And some state health officials have even written one prescription that can be used by every resident of the area. But harm reduction groups and other organizations can't take advantage of these workarounds, which means they have to fall in line with the stringent federal guidelines to get access to naloxone in bulk. Organizations that order the drug have to go to the doctor to sign for every order, and every doctor can only sign for one group. These organizations have also had to have had medical or pharmacy license and comply with storage and, of course, dispensing regulations. Part of the reason that the regulations are so strict is because they are outdated. In the 70s, when naloxone became available, it was only injectable. Now we have a nasal spray version of the drug. While hospitals and other medical organizations have no trouble with these kinds of regulations, grassroots harm reduction groups that are led by volunteers and run out of residential addresses or cars can unfortunately be shut out altogether, which is a shame because, again, this is a life-saving drug, and it's really a shame. I actually tried to start in 2009-2010 a naloxone dispensing clinic. And the state that I was practicing at the time threatened to have my license removed if I had moved forward with it. Of course, now, 11, 12 years later, this is the standard of care. But naloxone is an amazing life-saving drug. And unfortunately, the people who are harmed by the lack of naloxone are those that are very vulnerable in our society. And I think that until we start really managing the vulnerable populations that exist in our society better, we're going to continue to see these unfortunate deaths. Patients often unaware of sickle testing before conception. Around 100,000 Americans have sickle cell disease, a blood disorder that causes intense bouts of pain. Most sickle cell patients are Black Americans, and very few of the couples at risk for having babies with sickle cell know that they're carrying the gene, even though a relatively simple test could make them aware. According to the New York Times, this poses an ethical question in medicine. A person who inherits a mutated sickle cell gene from one parent has the sickle cell trait, but not the disease. If both parents have the sickle cell trait, then they have around a 25% chance of having a baby with sickle cell disease. Parents can make informed decisions about this if they receive a preconception genetic counseling. For sickle cell, this means that each parent takes a blood test that tells them if they have the sickle trait or not. While guidelines from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists say that parents should be tested for sickle cell, this is rarely done. This could be changed if the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force, a panel of health experts that advises the federal government on ways to prevent disease, were to issue an official advisory concerning the disease, but the task force examines conditions that are nominated by a member of the public, and sickle cell has yet to be nominated. Thank you.
No Surprises Act. Have you ever received a surprise medical bill? This is a common issue among many Americans after receiving medical care. After a trip to the doctor, hospital, urgent care, and other medical facilities, people receive bills they were not expecting after their visit. Lots of times, people are unaware of what costs are involved in their visits to the doctor and what procedures and tests are and are not covered by their insurance.
Oftentimes, these surprise bills will come after an emergency visit when there is no time to decide about seeing an in-network provider or traveling to an in-network hospital or emergency department. In some instances, patients are brought to an in-network hospital system but receive care from a provider that is out of network. It's easy to see how this can get complicated, and it isn't the patient's biggest concern during a trip to the emergency department. This dilemma of receiving some form of out-of-network care, even if the patient is in an in-network hospital, is rather common. In fact, the Kaiser Family Foundation identified this issue is happening in one out of every five emergency department visits. This drives me crazy, Hope. This is something that is so frustrating for even me. And I had a procedure done last year, and we were receiving bills for months on end, you know, and it's crazy. All right. I will stop venting. Go ahead.
As of January 1st, 2022, the No Surprises Act will be instituted federally. The act aims to eliminate or more heavily regulate surprise medical bills. The bill will ban instances of surprise billing, otherwise known as balance billing, when a patient receives care from a provider that is out of the patient's insurer's network. The act will eliminate the surprise billing practice if the patient receives out-of-network care in the following scenarios. If a patient receives emergency care in an emergency room, when you receive any care at an in-network facility, and when you are transported via an air ambulance.
Furthermore, once a patient is stable, an out-of-network emergency physician cannot provide care to a patient unless they consent to care and are aware that they can leave to be treated at an in-network provider. Patients are still responsible to pay for any costs that result from in-network care, like copays, but will not be responsible for paying the bill if the care is out-of-network and falls under one of the scenarios mentioned earlier.
Wow.
Thank goodness.
Wow.
I know, right? Something good happening.
Right.
In these instances, the insurance company and the provider will have to dispute the costs on their own. Yay,
oh, that's
right?
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Yes. These new protections under the No Surprises Act only apply to care given in a facility that offers emergency services. The act does not cover out-of-network costs due to ground ambulance services, but some areas do provide protections for that scenario. This act will remove many surprise bills for Americans and provide protection for those seeking emergency services.
Have we just become super pessimistic with what government can do for people? Or is this just truly great? Because I feel as though, given how things just never seem to work out for working class folks, you know, here's something that's going to be great that everyday folks like you and I are going to easily be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, I think we've become super pessimistic. I mean, they've conditioned us that way. But right. This is going to be so wonderful. Such a wonderful thing for so many people.
100%. Yeah, this is great news.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.